My name is Alicia.
And I'm Liv.
And you're listening to TBR,
the podcast where we both drink and spill the tea on books from your TBR lists.
This episode, we're reviewing the second half of Blood and Honey by Shelby Morin.
A few days ago, we posted our episode on the first half of Blood and Honey, so if you haven't already listened to that, head back and listen to that, and then come back here.
Yes, but we are hoping that this section speeds up a little bit, because we all know that the last section, the plot was a little bit slow.
So, how have you been?
I've been fine. Everything's been very exhausting. I think it might be the weather, because it's a bit humid today, so I feel like it's making me feel very drowsy.
Well, it was 40 degrees yesterday.
Yeah.
That was a real doozy. It was so hot.
But yeah, I'm feeling fine. How about you? How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad. It's been busy. I have an apartment now, so that's fun.
Very exciting.
And I'll move at the end of this week, so that's kind of crazy, but it'll be a nice change.
Yes, definitely. The city life. I'm excited. I'm heading down to Melbourne tomorrow, so, you know, we can do a relay race and I'll pass you the baton and
I'll switch over.
Keep going.
I'll do the last leg.
Yeah, that's right.
Not that I'm a runner, but...
No, neither am I.
Okay, so another exciting thing. Hear me out. This is going to sound so lame. When I was a kid, I was literally obsessed with the Winx Club.
Yeah, everyone's obsessed with Bloom and I don't know why because I've never seen it.
I was a Bloom gal.
Oh, were you? Okay.
I was obsessed.
She the brunette?
No, she's the redhead. She's like kind of the main one.
Okay.
Anyway, I was literally obsessed as a kid. And recently Netflix has just done a live reboot, but it's like rated MA 15+.
Oh.
Anyway, it's a bit of an older one and it's kind of cringy, but I'm kind of obsessed.
It's cringy, but it's good.
Yeah.
It's
like
a good cringe.
It's really good. And some of the men, mwah, chef's kiss.
Ooh.
But like, I'm just having real childhood flashbacks at the moment. So that's like what I've been watching every night at this point.
Wow.
Yeah, it makes me feel really nostalgic.
Wow. Okay.
Anyway, would recommend. You should watch the original first though. Okay. Because my sister and I were actually discussing it because we used to watch it together as kids. And we were like, yeah, let's watch the first like episode of the animated one. Oh my God. It was literally, I don't know why I worshipped that show.
Oh, really?
So much. Like it's, some of it like just is weird. But like, anyway, the live remake, I'm loving it. It doesn't quite add up to what it was. Like, it's not really the same as the cartoon one.
Yeah.
But it's the same kind of idea.
Yes. Okay. That makes sense. All right. I'll definitely check that out.
Give it a watch.
I will. I've been watching Crown, so I've got to get that through.
I haven't heard of that. Oh, wait. Is that the
Crown?
Is that the one about...
the royal family?
Yeah, yeah. And it's got Olivia Colman?
Yes.
Gotcha.
She's amazing.
I've heard she's really good.
Very, very good. She's in the first two seasons, and then obviously people age, and so they change casts. Okay, so what book are you currently reading?
I'm currently reading Daughter of Smoke and Bone by, I know I'm going to butcher her name, I think it's Lainey Taylor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I read it years ago, and then I tried to start the second book, but then I had to go to university, so I had to return it to the library or something like that. Anyway, I recently bought the whole trilogy, so I'm starting to reread it all.
Awesome.
Yes. So far, I'm finding it a little slow, but I'm thinking maybe I'll get the audiobook just to, like, speed up the first book, and then I'll read the second and third. I don't know. I'm still deciding.
It's a good plan.
What about you? What are you reading?
I'm currently reading The Cruel Prince
mm-hmm.
by Holly Black. It hasn't started as slow as I thought it would be. Like, I'm enjoying it for now.
I actually found that it started really slow.
You think so?
Yeah, I personally found that the book in general was a bit of a slow book.
Interesting.
Like, even the series?
Oh, okay.
I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think it's because I am a nighttime reader, so I'm already winding down, so anything is just, like, extra stimulation for my brain.
Right.
Yes. In other exciting news, we've just hit 4,000 followers on TikTok.
That's absolutely insane.
Yes, it's amazing. Thank you so much, everyone.
It's just mind-blowing to think that 4,000 people actually like the kind of content we make.
Yeah, because we're a little lame.
Oh, yeah.
But in a cool way, apparently.
Apparently.
Well, 4,000 of you think
so. Are we influencers now? Are we that cool?
We're not that cool.
Yeah. I'm lying. We're really not.
Yeah, but we do want to thank you guys for all of your support and just your enthusiasm and just helping us realize that there's a lot more like-minded people out there than we originally thought.
And it's so nice. There's a few people who listen to every single one of our episodes and will always comment on our Instagram posts and stuff. Anyway, and just wanted to say we notice you and we really appreciate you.
Yes, you guys literally make our entire weeks by reaching out.
We just love you guys.
Yes, absolutely.
So, what tea are you drinking this week?
I'm drinking orange and cinnamon. You know, because of them sticky buns.
I honestly feel like orange and cinnamon is a real cocoa kind of scent.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Like, I get that vibe from her.
She's a little zesty, but a little spicy.
Speaking of, completely off topic, we recently bought some candles.
Yes.
Because we're obsessed.
We are.
From, I believe, her username on Instagram is Made by Nicola.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll link her in the description box. Absolutely gorgeous. I bought the Darkling candle.
Yes.
Smells amazing.
Yes.
Smells sexy. Smells like a man. Smells great.
Very good. I had a special situation because I'm...
A special situation.
I did. I'm terrible at decision making, but I knew I wanted to, you know, try one of the candles out, but I couldn't decide. And so I told Liv to give me like a little mystery candle situation. So I was like, this is the size of the candle I want. You go to town, pick one for me. And she picked Resand from the ACOTAR series.
I did.
He smells so good.
Very CEO vibes, I
yes,
feel like.
Yes, very manly, very like aftershave. Ugh, she's so sexy.
Smells amazing.
He does.
So, can recommend. She's a small Australian business. Nicola's so lovely. She's included like a handwritten note, a little bookmark and stuff. Anyway, literally amazing. Go check out her Instagram. She's also on Etsy. We'll link it all in the description box.
Yes. Also, this is not sponsored by her, although we wish.
No. Oh my God, I wish.
We just love it.
Anyway, the reason I thought of that is because I feel like if cocoa was a candle, it would be orange and cinnamon.
Yeah.
Also, I believe Nicola sells cocoa candles.
Yeah, we'll have to check it out.
She also sells a Lou and Reed one, and I want it so badly.
Yes.
But it's never in stock whenever I go to buy it.
I know, it's too popular. You guys, don't go buy it when it's in stock. It's
please,
for Liv and
I need it.
So, Liv, what tea are you drinking today?
I'm drinking chai tea. Again, lovely. Cinnamony, vanilla-y. Yeah. I feel like it's a good one for this series.
Yeah, why is it spicy?
I would be so concerned if you thought chai tea was spicy.
It's not. I wouldn't be surprised if you thought it was spicy, though.
My spice tolerance, I literally have the spice tolerance of, like,
white bread.
Yeah. I have such low spice tolerance. But no, I really like it. I think it's great.
Yeah, I love a good chai. Okay, well, without further ado, let's get cracking on to the second half.
Yes. So our last episode finished off and Reed was about to go see the werewolves and he was saying to Lou, worst comes to worst, they're going to kill him. And we left on that cliffhanger.
Yeah, it's really chill. It's a nice chill. Like, instead of being like, bye, I love you, he's like, I might die. See ya.
Like, I might die. Who knows? So this part begins and the whole crew are heading off to Lavantre, which is the kind of the pack land of the werewolves.
Yes.
And Bo, in classic Bo fashion, is complaining.
Yeah, he's not a happy camper.
No. Bo's not a camper.
No.
I know he isn't.
Yeah, his toilet seats are made of gold. Like,
he probably does glamping.
He probably does do glamping.
I can
picture
it.
Goodness.
He'd be like in a double bed in some fancy tent and he'd have like people bringing him grapes and stuff and
yeah, when
a spa
he,
outside.
When he arrives, he's probably just like, now, where is my golden bathing shower? They're like, we just go into the creek. And he's like, now, what carat of gold is the creek that you speak of? And they're like, just like in the pond.
Like literally the creek.
And he's just like not processing it. He's just staring at them like, yes, but how many carats?
Bless Bo. We really give him a hard time, but I love him. I think he's a great character.
Yeah, and there's so much space for development. So that's why we're kind of teasing him a little bit, I guess. Anyways, and so I guess they're not regrouping, but they're just settling a little bit. And I think Ansel, from, you know, their previous experiences, he always feels a little useless if he hasn't been told to have a job or something.
Mm.
And so he kind of asks Lou if she can train him for some physical combat. And Lou laughs a little bit at Ansel, I guess, because Ansel's like, yeah, okay, I'll just ask Reed, like, what he thinks of it first.
Yeah, he almost goes to ask permission.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's just like, you literally don't need to ask Reed's permission. Why? And I think Coco tries to defend Ansel a little bit. And Ansel's like, don't defend me.
Yeah, he's a little salty.
He's still a little put out.
He's so hurt.
Look, fair. I would be too.
Yeah, because she's sent him so many mixed signals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't know where he stands. Because they're meant to be a team. And then she was like, nah, fam, I'm on my own. And he's like, well, I guess I'm on my own, so don't help me. And I guess Bo tries to gang up on Ansel as well, and he's like, oh, you know, haha, you're not a good fighter. Obviously, he doesn't say that, but that's the general gist of it.
Yes.
And Reed just thinks it's silly that Lou even wants to train Ansel, because he's like, it's silly, you know, Ansel was an initiate at the Chasseurs. You know, he knows how to fight. Lou says, yeah, well, it's not practical, because what the Chasseurs teach, they teach morality and all that stuff. And realistically, in a huge battle, there is no room for morality.
Yeah. You've just got to, if you're on one side, then you're fighting for that side.
Exactly. You can't be like, well, I think this and this and this.
Yeah.
Like, I guess the Chasseurs really see things as black and white, like good and bad.
Yeah.
Whereas realistically in these fights, they need a bit more grey areas, which the Chasseurs don't preach.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense at all. And Reed's kind of like, oh, that's ridiculous. And Lou's like, okay, well, do you want to fight? And he's like, not really. And she's like, no, let's fight. I'm gonna throw some fists.
Yeah, except she doesn't throw some fists. She, like, taunts him a little bit with some of her magic.
Mm-hmm.
I think also to try to get Reed to do a little bit of magic too.
Yeah, look, I think so, definitely.
Yeah. And Reed's basically like, all right, if I win, then you need to stop using magic because I don't like it when you do that. Again, he's still... has been taught from a very early age that magic is bad. So that...
It's still really ingrained for him.
Yeah, that's right. And Lou says, okay, then if I win, I teach you how to do magic.
And he's a bit hesitant, but he does eventually agree.
Yeah.
I guess he's so confident of his ability to fight. He's like, yeah, I can take down my wife. Yeah. I can take her down.
Yeah, but Lou's, like, trained her entire life too. But also magic is a lot more powerful than physical things most of the time.
Yes. Anyway, so eventually... Reed agrees to fight. And Lou's, like, a real badass. She's doing really well. She's, like, doing the ninja kicks or whatever they are. And all whilst she's doing this, she's like, lesson number one, Ansel, never let your guard down. And, like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, poor Ansel's getting in their, like, sexy fighting time. It's kind of awkward.
The biggest hurdle. But I think he's also, like, a little bit concerned because he's like, ah, Lou literally looks like she's trying to kill her husband.
Yeah, which she, like, almost does. Like, as she's teaching him, she's, like, thrashing. Like, she is overpowering him definitely. By a lot.
And Reed's getting really frustrated. And in the end, Lou ends up using her magic. And Reed is absolutely furious.
Yeah.
And he grabs his knife and, like, swings it towards her, and he's expecting her to jump back, but she doesn't, and ends up cutting straight through the front of her coat.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh my god, are you okay? And, like, rushes over and stuff, and she uses magic again to blast him back and slam him into a tree.
Yeah, which is one of the lessons that she was trying to teach Ansel.
Yeah, I think the lesson was, like, don't stop until they're dead or something like that. Look, the consequences of her using magic, you can clearly see that she's kind of losing it a little bit.
Yeah.
Not, like, losing it, like, going crazy, but she's blurring the lines of...
what's appropriate.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
So now we're back in Reed's perspective, and obviously things are super tense because, one, his ego is a little hurt because he just got beat, and two, he's obviously very annoyed that he might have to learn magic now, and three, he got beat by Lou, and Lou was, like, talking and doing a whole monologue during it, so.
She was only, like, half paying attention.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I guess, because Reed had pretty bad anger management issues in the first one, and I guess that's still kind of tying over into this one. Like, he just doesn't cope well with being bested. Belittled.
Oh, yeah, that too.
So, another matagoa showed up. It's a fox this time that Lou has named Bridget, and, yeah, I guess things are kind of getting bad. Like, if not one matagoa is around, but two, she's troubled. Our gal.
Yeah.
She's very troubled.
She is, and Reed's probably annoyed about that too, because he's like, you're troubled, we get it. Why can't you tell me? Like, why can't you tell me what's wrong? We're, like, a team. And Lou's there like, I literally don't know. I'm she just a troubled gal.
Me? Troubled? Never.
Yeah, literally, I'm fine.
Anyway, they hear a bunch of howls at this point, and they're like, oh my god, it is a pack of werewolves. And Reed, apparently being the werewolf expert, the resident werewolf expert, if you will, is like, everyone, you gotta kneel, don't make eye contact, because they'll see it as a challenge and stuff. So they all kneel, and the pack leader, Blaze, steps forward.
Yeah, he's the alpha.
That just reminds me of that, you know, that weird TikTok trend that was going around at one point?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, werewolves.
Oh, God.
I hate it.
No. Oh, God. Cringe. That was one of the cringiest TikTok trends that's ever gone around, I think.
Yeah, I agree. But at least everyone knew it was lame.
Did anyone actually do it seriously?
No.
I hope not.
Oh, that would be interesting. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Anyways.
Now that I've, you know, done my...
weekly TikTok reference.
Yeah, you should put it on our TikTok thing. We might get 40,000 followers instead of 4. Get viral. Use your books. Have the books like running around.
Oh my god, no.
Oh goodness. Anyways, and so after Blaze is introduced, Lou stands up and she's kind of asking to have an audience with him in order to negotiate the partnership between them, because they don't know where they stand in regards to Morgan, and they really need allies right now. So, you know, she needs to meet with him to make sure that they can be on the same page, or if there's any chance of them having an ally situation.
And at this point, a woman steps out, and her name is Liana, and she's the daughter of Blaze. And I guess things are getting a little touchy in terms of making small jabs at each other, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, either way, the negotiation is it's not looking so fab.
Yeah, it's a bit tense.
And I think someone might, like, prod someone else a little bit. Like, it's getting a little, like, pushy-shovey.
Yeah.
And at this point, a wolf just slams into Lou. And I guess they're like, let's take it down.
Yeah.
And Reed throws a knife to Lou, and she uses it in self-defense and kind of just slashes it around, I guess. I don't think she actually gets anyone. But Liana basically just says, we'll never help the prince, a huntsman, and their whore. And Blaze kind of changes into a man because he was like a wolf before.
Yeah.
And we find out that Morgan visited them earlier with a similar proposition, being like, we should fight together.
Yeah, I think they're also trying to defend their own and just being like, I don't want to get involved. Like, I don't like that Morgan bitch and I don't want to talk to you guys. Like, I just want to stay here.
The werewolves literally just want to do their own thing. They're like, yeah. Witches, disgusting. Yeah. Humans, disgusting.
Yeah, which is fair. Like, if they don't need to be brought into it, then why would they? Like, it's not like they're protecting their own species. This is a whole different species.
True, but I guess on the other side, the reason why Lou wants to recruit them is because if Morgan gets her way, like, everyone's going to be impacted, no matter who it is.
Yeah, which they'll eventually hear out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so after they heard that Morgan actually approached them earlier, I guess things calm down a little bit.
They're definitely more having a conversation now, as opposed to just, like, screaming at each other.
They got the tension out of the way. And so now Blaze is back in his wolf form, and Reed's like, I didn't beat my wife in battle before, so I'm gonna challenge you, Blazy. So Reed challenges him to, not a battle,
a duel.
Yeah, a duel.
A duel, if you may.
Sexy. So, basically, the duel isn't, like, one-on-one. It's, like, a Tom and Jerry style, like,
the cat wolves, and mouse chase.
It is a cat and mouse chase. The wolves will hunt Reed while he, you know, blasts himself up this mountain. Like, just, like, runs for it. And
towards the village.
Towards the village. And if he reaches the village before they get him, then he gets to live. So, it seems really fair.
Oh, super legit.
Yeah.
Super chill. And I don't know why, but he's like, yeah.
Yeah, sounds fair.
I just don't, yeah.
He's a human. Like, he's a witch, I get it.
Yeah, but that literally does nothing for the agreement that they came here for. Like, they were like, please, let's negotiate an alliance. And they're like, let's just hunt you, and if you escape, sure thing.
Yeah, it's good for us. Like, we're such good people. We have such a conscience.
Exactly. Anyway, Reed takes one last look at Lou, and at that point, Liana says, run. And Reed's like, choo-choo-choo-choo-choo, like the Incredibles, dash.
Yes. Oh goodness. And so now we're back in Reed's perspective, and you know, he's a running man. So he thinks like, oh okay, the wolves are not just hunting him like with their sight, they're very sensitive to smell, and so they're tracking his scent.
They're a little sensitive. Reed's like, yo, I'm gonna run. They're like, oh my god, everybody's like me.
Shouting nice things like, you're gorgeous, Blaze.
Blaze is like, oh my god, my heart.
It's like, I'm a bit sensitive. Anyways.
Oh my god, no. We are so tired. I swear it's the heat. It's making us go crazy.
We're becoming delirious. But no, my main point was their noses are very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So their sense of smell. And so Reed's trying to throw them off track. And so he goes to like a water pond or something like that. So he goes to this river and, you know, he's trying to make them lose his scent.
He's going for a little swim.
Yeah, he's taking a dip just in the middle of his, like, village plans.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, thank God I got my scent off. Hang on a second, I've literally been leaving footprints this whole way. Yeah. Like, I might as well. It's like, you know, on a map where they have the little footprints of where to go? That's what it's like.
Yeah. Like the Marauders map.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
So bad.
And he's like, well done, I'm in trouble. However, I know how they won't be able to track my footsteps.
If I become Katniss Everdeen.
Exactly. And he climbs up a tree and kind of does, like, he becomes Tarzan 2.0.
Yeah.
He, like, gets to a branch and he starts, like, jumping from tree to tree.
Yeah.
And he's like, wah, wah,
wah. He's so lame.
And, like, beating his chest or whatever Tarzan does. I can't really remember. I was never really a Tarzan fan as a kid.
Neither. I've never seen it.
Mm. Anyway, but I know the general gist.
Yeah.
I remember the live remake with, oh, I can't even remember his name, but he's in a lot of things. He's in Inkheart, that movie, and he's I think I'm thinking of George of the Jungle, not Tarzan.
Yeah, I think you are. There was a Tarzan one, though.
Oh, with Alexander Skarsgård.
Must be.
Yeah. Absolutely stunning.
Oh, okay. That's
yeah, good. Yeah. Still a very attractive man.
Very.
Anyway, my point is, he's very similar to George of the Jungle or Tarzan in the live remake. They're just, like, swinging.
Yeah, whatever branched tree men we're thinking of.
Yes. Anyway, he loses his Tarzan skills and he just, like, falls to the ground. And at this point, Blaze comes up and reads, like, can we negotiate? And Blaze lunges forward and bites Reed's arm.
Kinky.
Plot twist of the century.
Blaze has a little bit of a crush on Reed.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're actually, like, in battle, kind of, at this point. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and so, in self-defense, Reed's like, ow, Charlie bit me.
That was, like, literally the best video of, I can't even remember how old I was. Like, I was very young. Anyway, yeah. It was cultural reset.
Oh, absolutely. And so Charlie bites Reed, Charlie/Blaze, and Reed ends up kicking him in the chest. And so Reed grabs his dagger and stabs Blaze in one of his paws.
And I guess with the pain, Blaze turns back to being a human, and he's like, what was his name? And we're like,
whose name, buddy?
What? You okay? Is the pain making you go a little foggy? Yeah. Are you good, bro?
Yeah. Must be his crush on Reed. He couldn't think properly.
Couldn't quite think straight.
No. So that was a weird cliffhanger of a chapter. But anyways, now we're back in Lou's perspective, and obviously she's feeling quite anxious about Reed running for his life. And as soon as she hears the howling, she realizes that they've found him.
And she's like, I need to do something. So I think she has like a, there's definitely a superhero that I'm thinking of.
Frozone.
Yeah. No.
When don't we think of Frozone?
Frozone just lives rent free in our Elsa. Minds. It is Elsa.
Yeah.
She just, like, slams her hand into the ground and ice goes everywhere. And she, like, mentions feeling this numbness in her or something. She can't remember Reed's name. She can't remember her own name. She literally can't remember anything.
Yeah.
And then she blacks out.
And when she wakes up, she wakes to the lovely, frowning, disappointed face of Coco. Coco's real mad about it.
She's not impressed.
No.
And Lou has turned the whole of Levantra to ice.
Levantra/Arendelle.
Yes.
Love it.
And Coco's like, bro, why'd you do that? And Lou's like, let it go.
Yeah.
Let go, Coco.
Let it go, Coco.
Anyway.
So we find out that in order to trade, because when you use magic, you have to trade something. In order to put ice on the ground, she had to put ice in her heart.
Kind of cringy, but you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, I was very confused because I'm like, aren't you meant to swap it for something? Like, instead of, like, both being affected, aren't you meant to give something? Because otherwise, then before, when she had to give up her warmth, why doesn't she just make her heart warmer and then everything around her is
warmer? True, I never thought of that.
Yeah, it doesn't quite add up, but whatever. Shelby Morin probably was like, that's a plot hole. Anyways.
Coco's like, let go of the ice, Lou, get rid of it. And she's about to undo it, but someone shoots an arrow at her. Obviously, they miss. But the chasseurs appear, led by Jean-Luc. And basically find out that Jean-Luc is planning on going to catch the king and be like, hey, pal, I have the tea for you.
Yes. And Lou picks up that Jean-Luc, his special gal that he was talking about earlier, is actually Celie.
Oh boy.
The best friend's ex. Go for it.
Oh, Jean-Luc, if I didn't hate you before,
I know.
This is what would make me hate him now.
Right. But Lou actually uses this as not leverage, but just like emotional leverage. Like she...
Definitely. She's like...
taunting him.
Oh, I see. Like always second best. Like Sully couldn't have Reed.
Like sloppy seconds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Jean-Luc is furious and I think tries to lunge at her, but she ends up cornering him in with ice and stuff. And the other chasseur's like, oh my God, Captain. And they're like, with their little ice picks. Yeah. I mean, I guess they're... the balisades or whatever. Yeah. But they're like trying to hack away at the ice and Lou spits in Jean-Luc's eye and grabs his balisade.
Good on her.
She's like, I'll be taking that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And now we're back in Reed's perspective. And basically we got left off at like, do you know his name? Which Blaise was like saying to him and it was all like ominous and stuff. Blaise wants to know if Reed knows the name of his son. And Reed's like, no, I don't, buddy. Why are you so tense? And Blaise says his name was Adrian.
And we also find out that apparently it's super, super hard for werewolves to conceive.
Yes.
So they basically have to adopt where they can, I think. Blaise essentially just says Reed owes him blood and they fight. Lots of jabby, jabby, snappy, snappy, proddy, proddy, whatnot.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they hear this whine and Blaise like, oh my God, it's Terrence, my other son.
Damn, gotta get back.
Oh, he's had some really rough luck with his kids. Anyway, so he sprints and Reed's like, I better follow him.
Yeah. And so once Reed gets back to the group, Lou's like, yo, I'm so glad you're alive. Also, I found you a new balisada.
Mm-hmm. And Terrence is looking pretty injured. I feel like maybe Lou might have accidentally got him with ice or something like that. Mm. I can't remember the exact details.
Yeah.
Again, Blood and Honey was a book I kind of had to force myself to get through a little bit.
Yes.
So I'm a little foggy on some things.
Yeah.
Anyway, and Lou's like, did the ice save you? And Reed lies. He's like, yes, but, you know, I'd really appreciate it if you could melt it now. And she's like, of course, Reed. I would do anything for the people I love.
Mm.
And Reed's like, oh, great. Wow. Thank you so much. That's not scary at all.
No, not commitment. No way.
Ugh, commitment.
I know. And so Lou, you know, melts all that ice. Good job, girl. Well done. Except she can't remember any of it.
No, she's like, oh my God, what happened? Like, what are we all doing here?
Yeah.
And they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, literally. And Jean-Luc is really unhappy. He's still there.
Jean-Luc isn't happy with anything. I don't think I've ever seen a moment where Jean-Luc is genuinely happy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll have to see him with Celie, but...
I don't even know if he's happy with Celie.
No, I think he was just like, maybe this will make me happy. Maybe. So sad. So, yes, Terrence is still very injured and Blaise is really angry about it.
Mm-hmm. And Coco's like, here, I can heal him. And Reed's like, no, I'll heal him. And he pulls out that vial of blood and honey that Coco gave to him ages ago.
Yeah, wow, Reed. What a man of action.
An act of kindness.
Yes, so much effort is put through reaching into your back pocket and pulling out a vial of blood.
Anyway, and Coco's like, damn, good use of that, bro.
Yeah.
And so he ends up healing Terrence and Blaise is like, I'm indebted to you, Reed. And Jean-Luc, again, he's exasperated. He's not vibing. And Lou ends up saying, I have a proposition for you and your chasseurs. And I tell you what, it ends with Morgan on a stake.
Yes.
And Jean-Luc's like, great. I thought you were with her. Like, what?
What happened?
Jean-Luc's like a million years behind everything that's going on.
He like didn't get invited to the party, got a last minute invite, turns up, everyone's already drunk and he's like trying to add it all up. And he's like, why is she crying? Why is he mad? Like, I don't understand.
That literally perfectly describes Jean-Luc. Reed's basically like, please brother, help us. And Jean-Luc's like, you are not my brother. And punches him in the face.
Classy, classy.
Yeah, I feel a bit bad for Reed. Like, he's still under the impression that him and Jean-Luc were besties.
Yeah. Aww.
He doesn't realise that Jean-Luc was basically pretending this whole time.
Yeah, exactly, because he's jealous of Reed. And Jean-Luc's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm an asshole, so I'm not going to do it.
Basically, he just shows his true colours, and I think he's sick of being made fun of in front of all of his, like, peers and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway. And Blaise is like, none of that here, thank you so much. And the chasseurs end up leaving.
Yes. And Lou's angry about this because they really needed as many alliances as possible. Like, mm-hmm. just because she's got the wolves doesn't mean she doesn't need more help. And so now they're planning to visit the king. Yeah, and she's even just mad in general because now that they've let the chasseurs go, the chasseurs are planning to visit the king anyway. So they're like, oh, great, the king's now going to know exactly what we're thinking. And basically the minute we step into Caesarine, basically the minute we go to visit him in the castle, he can just have people arrest us, basically.
Yeah, there's no, like, surprise.
They were hoping to have, like, some leverage.
Yes. So, obviously, it was so successful with the wolves, so they're gonna go to Caesarine and try to talk to the king.
Yes, and Lyanna steps forward, and she basically just says that she owes them everything, and so does Terrence. And they're like, we will join you. And Blaze is like, that's not happening.
Yeah, can you not?
That will not be happening on my watch. No, sirree. And...
But she's daddy's little girl.
She is. And Terrence is daddy's little boy.
Yeah.
And in the end, Blaze is like, fine, but the pack is going to stay here. The three of us will come with you. And they begin the trip to Caesarine.
Yes. So we're back in Reed's perspective, and Blaze, Terrence, and Lyanna go scout ahead because they got them senses.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, they hear that the chasseurs are looking for Reed, but Jean-Luc is not with them. So they're just assuming that he's probably gone straight to the king.
Exactly. And by now, also a third Madigo has appeared. It's a rat. Not the cutest of creatures.
No. Troubled creatures, because they're jealous that they're not better looking. It's fine, though.
Anyway, Lou wants to send word to Claude. She thinks he'll be able to help them moving forward. Yes. And basically everyone's like, that's kind of a crappy idea. And Lou angry cries. First of all, relatable.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, when I'm angry, all I want to do is cry.
I like yell at people and just cry. And they're like, are you sad? And I'm like, no, I'm just angry. So mad.
Yeah, no, I get you.
Anyway, and Reed apologizes. He's like, I'm so sorry. You know, didn't mean to make you upset. And Lou also apologizes. She's like, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry about the ice. I guess I'll try and avoid using magic if I can.
Yeah, I don't think that's like completely equal though, but oh well, it's fine.
Anyway, so Lou has obviously sent word to Claude, and Toulouse and Terry appear. And Terry says to Reed in his mind, Claude's not here because he won't leave Xena and Seraphine because the city's more dangerous than usual. And I think basically like three women have already been burnt at the stake recently or something like that.
Yes.
Not even for a reason, just because they assume they're witches or something like that.
Yes. And Terry tells Reed that Toulouse has requested that they don't assist them.
Terry also says that Morgane can't touch the king in the castle. However, the king plans to be at the funeral for the archbishop.
Yes.
So that's when Morgane is most likely to strike.
And in typical hitchhiker fashion, you got to look the part. And so they dress up in costumes and they're just trying to go to all these wagons so that it makes their trip a lot easier. And exactly. They can kind of secretly go into Caesarine.
Mm-hmm. So Coco and Ansel have already gone off pretending to be like a married couple and they're like, ah, ha, 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 we're, you know, newlyweds.
We're so in love.
Yeah, stuff like that. And Lou says to Reed that she loves him and then she heads off to go find her own little wagon and Reed, and he's having a sad boy hour because he doesn't get the opportunity to say he loves her back.
Yeah.
A little awkward.
Yeah, it is a little awkward. She says it really quickly though, so don't blame
her. She's out of there.
Yeah, she's out of there.
Anyway, so Reed ends up going to this random wagon and he's like, hi there, you know, I would really like to come in. Like, do you mind giving me a lift to Caesarine and yada, yada, yada. And she's like, we're not accepting beggars. And he's like, please, I'm desperate. And in the end, she basically ends up caving. She's like, okay, come in her side. Just hurry up.
And Reed ends up seeing a familiar face and it's Philippe, one of the chasseurs that he used to work with.
I think one of his superiors or something like that.
Yeah.
And Reed's like flipping out. He's like, what am I gonna do? And yeah, he's going a little crazy and I think he starts glowing or something like that.
Yeah.
And the woman's like, this is not chill. So she like grabs a fry pan and I think she's going to pull like a...
Tangled.
Yeah, exactly. And Philippe's obviously like, there's a lot of commotion in that carriage. I'm going to go check it out.
Yes. And Reed ends up knocking the woman's husband out.
Something like that. I really can't remember.
Yeah.
But
and she's screaming like bloody murder.
She is. And everyone's like, oh my God, that's Reed Diggory. He's bad.
He is
He's
bad.
He's wanted. Wanted by Liv.
Oh yeah. Wanted alive, please.
Yes.
Not dead.
Yes. In impeccable condition, if possible.
Yes. And so while Reed's trying to figure out an escape plan, he sees Lou pointing up to the chasseurs because they're almost going to get him.
Yeah. And I guess Philippe comes to the carriage and he's like, I know you. And he's like, okay, well, great seeing you, bro. I gotta run. And yep. Reed like runs out of the carriage and he ends up seeing Lou, who's like pointing upwards. and some of the chasseurs almost grab him, and then Reed's like, oh my god, and he like jumps up onto the rooftop towards Lou, and then they sprint off together.
Yes.
Just couple tings.
Yeah, and he should have been like, I love you too, but he didn't.
Rip.
And so now we're back in Lou's perspective, and they end up in like this little back street alley thing, and Reed's a princess, so he's a little tired.
He's panting. He's like, can we take a break? Ooh, I haven't done a workout in a hot second.
Yeah, that's right. And the rat's still following Lou, and so she's decided to name him Charles.
She's really not very creative.
No. Bridget, Charles.
Oh, Absalon.
Oh, that was a bit cool. Better. That was really cool, actually.
And she's ended up sending Charles to Madame LaBelle to, I don't know, say something of importance.
Yes. And Reed also says that he wants to speak to the king himself. And so as they're heading towards the cathedral, they see, like, an awful image of all these bodies on stakes.
Yes, and we realise that the king has burnt all these women claiming they're witches, but he's got absolutely no proof.
Yes.
It's more just like a display of power.
Yeah, exactly. And so they move on from that, you know, still keeping on their journey, and Lou actually spots Manon with a golden-haired man next to her.
Yes, and Lou decides she wants to investigate. And Reed's like, ah, let's go together. And Lou's like, no. And he's like, no, we're going together.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, fine, just be quiet. Don't cramp my style.
Yeah, don't embarrass me.
Exactly. And Manon is with this man and she's crying and she's saying that Morgan will not be happy about them. And she says that she loves him. And he's like, I love you too. And she raises this knife and Reed wants to step in to save the man. But Lou stops him and Manon stabs him. And he dies.
He does. That's a very interesting and confusing interaction that they've just had.
Yes. And Manon turns around and sees Lou, and she says, run so far that we will never find you.
Yeah. So obviously there's still some affection.
Yeah, Manon's done a full-ass U-turn.
Yeah, it's kind of a redemption. A little bit.
I don't know. I'm a bit confused where her loyalties lie at this point.
Yeah, I think this is a nice little sneak peek, though.
There's definitely potential for Manon in future books.
Yes, I agree. Manon should date Jean-Luc. They could bring out the best in each other.
No, but they both despise each other.
That's the best. That's your favorite.
Yeah, I know it's my favorite, but I feel like, no, this would be like...
A really bad.
I think this would be a genuine like...
Oh.
I don't think they would ever turn to lovers. I think they'd just be enemies and him trying to like stab her while she sleeps.
Sexy. Best.
I mean, we all know that I love a good trope where they're held at knife point.
Yeah.
But I think maybe this would like...
It's not the occasion.
Actual blood would be spilled.
Fair.
And
fair.
I don't think I vibe with that.
That's fair. So now we're back in Lou's perspective and they run into this little emporium and Reed's really confused as to why Lou didn't let him save the man. And Lou's not replying because the shop owner actually ends up coming out. And so
very convenient timing.
Yeah, very convenient. She's probably like, thank you so much. And they go to leave.
And the owner's like, nonsense, Reed. Manon won't find you here. And then she just vanishes.
But neither of them know her.
No.
So they're both like, she with you?
Weird as heck.
Yeah.
Anyway, and Reed's like, who is that woman? And Lou goes to say she doesn't know. But Reed cuts her off and he's like, don't lie. And Lou has a bit of an angry cry again.
Yeah, love it. Very relatable.
Because he's just... making assumptions and she's like, does he not trust me?
Yeah, he's like snapping at her.
Exactly. And Reed asks what happened at the blood camp. He's like, I know you're not telling me something. And she basically tells him there was a funeral for Etienne and Reed is mad because she didn't say it before.
Yeah, and he's also his sibling.
True.
Yeah. And so Lou's really upset because she feels like she sacrificed like everything that she has for Reed. And so they have a bit of an argument because I think... It's not miscommunication, but I just think both of them are doing things that the other doesn't notice as much.
Mm.
And so I think it's built up for a while. And so they have a couple's fight. And Lou kind of realizes that because of the way that Reed's been raised, he will never truly accept her, like all of her.
Yes. And at this point, Lou tells Reed that the man that Manon killed was his brother.
Yes.
And she's like, does it make me a monster not wanting to save him because it means you living? And Reed says, does make you a monster. And Lou's like, oh my god, thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And Reed says, but it does make you exactly like your mother. And then he leaves.
Oh.
That was a very low blow from Reed.
I agree too. Because first of all, Reed doesn't know Morgan personally. He's seen like the worst parts of her.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Reed,
he knew that statement was going to hurt Lou. Yeah. And I don't think you should ever say something with the intention to hurt someone.
Especially when you're, like, furious or really angry.
And, like, she is your wife.
Yeah.
Happy wife, happy life. What is right? he doing here?
Why would he say that? Such a low-hanging fruit.
I've literally never heard of low-hanging fruit. A low-hanging
fruit is, like, the easiest one to grab. Like, you don't even need to try for it. It's just like, you're just like your mother, even though it's, like, not true.
I mean, I get that now, but I've never heard of that before now.
Wow.
Anyways, now that we've cleared that up.
Yes.
Lou cries some more. Lovely. Because she's really just having sad girl hour.
She is having sad girl hour.
She's
this whole book, this whole half of the book is just sad girl hour.
It is. And she receives another creepy note from Morgan, and Lou just feels hopeless. She's like, is this what my life has come to?
Yeah.
Will it forever be like this? Yeah, she's having a little bit of a crisis.
She is. And so now we're back in Reed's perspective, and he's thinking a lot. He's doing some pondering. He's probably like, I have regrets. But he's not. He's just like, I feel so manipulated. This is so unfair.
Yeah, he's really mad at Lou. And he ends up going back to the rest of the crew. And they're at a bar, I believe. And Madame LaBelle ends up saying that Lou came in a few moments earlier, and Coco and Ansel followed her up because she's upstairs somewhere.
Yes. So at the bar, the whole crew is there. It's like Claude, Toulouse, Terry, Beau, Nicolina, Lavoisin, and Blaze are there too.
Everyone's there. It's a bit of a party.
It is.
Anyway, and Reed basically asks Beau what kind of, I guess he's like, hey,
skedge.
Have you got the skedge for the king?
Yeah, he's like, when does the king get off work?
I'd love to take him out quite literally.
Yeah.
And Beau's like, well, he's probably at the throne room. I suggest if we want to find him, we go through the tunnels, which are pretty much everywhere under the city.
Yes.
And Reed's like, yeah, that sounds like a terrific plan. And Beau's like, yeah, okay, great. Someone should grab Lou because she wants in on this plan. And Reed's like, yeah, well, plans change.
So Reed's walking under the tunnels with Beau and Madame LaBelle, and Beau's just making comments about rendezvous.
Exactly. And LaBelle's like, ah, yes, I remember when you developed a stutter. And Reed's like, I say what? This sounds like some tea. I would love to hear. And Beau basically ends up saying that he lost his virginity under these tunnels or something to someone who was aroused by stuttering. So he pretended he had a stutter.
That is desperado.
It is. But I also high-key love it for Beau.
Yes.
The fact that he was so desperate, he's like, I got a stutter.
The fact that he kept it up, literally.
I love it. I think it's great. Like, I love him. I think he's such a great character.
Same. I think he's great. And so they're all laughing. It's kind of a nice moment. And I think Reed's, you know, forgetting about his little couple's fight.
Yeah, it's a nice lighthearted moment in like a whole lot of serious shit that's going down.
Yes, exactly. And so Reed begins to feel a little bit nervous because, you know, he is a witch and he's about to go see the king, who is like the captain of the witch hunters. That's all he wants to do all day is just to hunt down and kill witches.
He's like the number one fan of the Chasseurs.
Yes.
He has a badge, he has a cloak, he has a cap, he has all the witch hunting merch.
Yeah, he's a fangirl.
He is. He's a big fan. Not of the witches, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the Chasseurs.
Yeah. And Madame LaBelle's basically like, it's okay. You're his son, so you'll be okay.
Story doesn't check out for me, to be honest.
No.
I think that's a very big assumption.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, she's probably trying to calm him because he might have been having, like, a little panic attack. Anyways, and so they find a little gap between a wall and a tapestry to kind of watch the room because he's in the throne room. So they're just trying to check it out and see what's going on. And the king is there with the queen.
And Beau's like, here's the plan. I'm going to enter and request an audience with the king. And if the king's all good, I'll call you guys forward. If not, you run away.
Yes, exactly. And so Beau heads off with that cool plan. And Reed actually sees Tomblay and Jean-Luc.
They're just hanging out.
They are just hanging out. I actually think
Jean-Luc's being a little rough with Tomblay.
Poor thing.
Like, maybe, like, borderline abusing him. Which I feel like is not good to your girlfriend's dad.
No, absolutely not. I feel
like that's not what you want. Especially since Tomblay is, like, a very well-known aristocrat.
Yes, and so at this point, Beau appears, and the queen is ecstatic. She's, like, so emotional. She's like, oh my gosh, my baby boy is back, and he's fixed his stutter. No, she's just so excited. But the king is not very happy. He's very unimpressed and very disappointed in Beau.
Yeah, he kind of has a real go at Beau, to be honest. He's like, you know, I know everything you've been doing, you've been running around with witches, like, eh, you're a disappointment to me and all that stuff. Just, like, airing out their dirty laundry.
Yes.
And even, like, belittling him in front of all these chasseurs and stuff.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is not a vibe.
No. And Madame LaBelle basically says that this was a mistake and that they should go now because things are not looking good. And Reed starts to hear footsteps and gets hit in the head with the hilt of a balisada.
Classic. An absolute classic.
It is a classic. If that was a frying pan, it would be Tangled 2.0.
Mm-hmm. So we switch back to Lou's perspective. And yeah, she's having another sad girl hour.
Yeah, it's like a sad girl week.
Big time sad girl week. Because Reed left to, you know, corner the king, but he never actually said goodbye.
Yeah, he was on a mission.
Mm.
Chill out, Lou.
And Nicolina comes over and she's kind of saying some stuff, being creepy Nicolina. But she basically insinuates that no one likes Lou.
Yeah, it's great. Great convo.
She's definitely stirring shit up. Like, she wants to provoke a reaction from Lou. Well,
she's obsessed with Reed. For a weird reason. He must have a nice face. Nice
I don't think she's face. Obsessed with him.
She licked his old face. Anyways, and so the rest of the group has basically just, like, settled on the fact that Reed is probably dead.
Yeah, they're like, he's been on literally so long. That's the only explanation.
Yeah, but obviously tensions are really, really high. And
yes, between the two groups especially, like, between the werewolves and the Dame Rouges.
Yes.
Like, it's a big, like, we should never have worked with you and yada, 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 yada. All that, like, little bickering.
Yeah, they have buyer's remorse.
They do, and they end up getting into a fight.
Yes.
And for some reason, Lou lights the bar on fire.
Yeah, so now the bar is on fire. It's a very intense fire, and Coco ends up getting burnt.
She does, really badly. And I think Lou ends up realizing that she's burning Coco, and she gets rid of the flames. And Coco's, like, on the ground sobbing, and everyone is horrified. And yeah. Lou's like, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to.
Yeah,
and
they all like, stop.
I'm fine. And I'm like, bitch, no, you're not.
Get some frozen peas on that shit.
Exactly.
So now we're in Reed's perspective, and he wakes up from being unconscious, and Madame LaBelle's there, just staring at him. She's like, good morning. Today is a beautiful day.
And she also lets on that the king has been injecting them with that weird witchy serum thing that was in the first book. You know, the one that, yeah, like, kind of nullifies the witch powers or whatever?
Yes.
Anyway, and the chasseurs everywhere, like, guarding them. And the king has a go at the archbishop, and he's like, you know, he stuck his cock into Morgan LeBlanc. And Madame LaBelle's like, you, sir, are a hypocrite.
Literally, because he did, like, the same thing.
Just a different witch.
Yeah, exactly. And then had a different kid. So it's chill.
Yeah. And the king's like, you're a witch. And Reed's like, yep, that is correct.
That is correct,
and
sir.
He's like, how did this happen? And Reed's like, well, sir, when a man loves a witch very much. And the king hits him. He's like, not a vibe, bro.
Yeah, he's not ready for that. He's not ready for the talk. He's not ready. He didn't want
to
know.
He wasn't prepared.
No.
This is why he has like 25 children. Yeah, he never got the talk.
He was like, how did they just pop out like that?
They weren't there 1 minute and they weren't the next.
How did it happen? Anyways, and so Bo races to intercept the king.
And the king basically gets a chasseur to whack Bo over the head.
Poor Bo.
He has a rough time.
All he wanted to just have sex and with a stutter. And he couldn't even have that.
Well, he did have that.
Can't get it twice, though. Anyways, and so they've moved to the dungeon, and the bars, which are made of iron, are coated in this numbing agent, and so they can't really move a lot.
So Bo hears his voice, and he recognizes it as Violette, yes, which is one of his younger sisters.
Yes.
And she's like, hey, bro, what's up? And, you know, we find out that her and Victoria have basically led all the chasseurs on this whole wild goose chase, in that Victoria pretended she'd stabbed herself with a dagger or something, and she's actually grabbed animal blood and started, like, trailing it all around the castle. So all the chasseurs are, like, running after her, trying to work it out.
Yeah, these twins are smart.
They're so smart. I'm so impressed.
Same. And they're also kind of rude.
And I think they're like, why would you choose this son of a whore over us? And Bo's like, I'll thank you not to say that. That is incredibly rude.
Yes.
Don't.
Yeah. And so after some convincing, they finally agree to set Reed free and also said that they want to hunt with them.
Yes. They're like, so impressed with what y'all are doing. We'd love to join the team.
Yeah. I want to make my daddy mad.
Yes. At this point, everyone does. Like, who even wants to be on the king's good side?
Yeah, because they've realized the king's powerless. Like, exactly. He does not matter at all. And so all these huntsmen all of a sudden come in, and obviously they're trying to run away, mm-hmm, and we realize that Madame LaBelle is actually still tied up.
Yes. And she's like, go on without me. And Reed's like, no, you're my mom. And she's like, no, really, go.
And Reed's like, okay, bye.
Okay, Kesha. So they run away. Okay, to be fair, he's not just so nonchalant about it. He's doesn't want to go at all. But as they're running away, he hears the sounds of Madame LaBelle screaming.
Yeah.
That is sad.
It is very sad. But at least she, like, sacrificed herself, kind of.
For a good cause. Yeah. She did it out of love for Reed.
Yeah, that's right. So now we're back in Lou's perspective, and she's just eavesdropping on Coco and Ansel's conversation. And she's really concerned about it because nothing's really going to plan. And so she ends up praying to God.
Which is so unusual because she's not someone who traditionally worships a god.
No, and she hasn't been brought up by the archbishop, so they're not, like, preaching all these things, like, from a young age. And Claude comes in and announces that Reed is actually back.
And Claude also mentions to Lou that he actually knew Morgane, and Lou is nothing like her. Like, she's not manipulative and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And we also find out that 1,000 years ago, Claude actually loved Morgane and thought that she loved him back.
Yeah, they had a thing.
Ooh, boy.
Plot twist.
But also, how old does that make Morgane? Is she super old?
Yeah, I reckon, like, she's
when he says 1,000 years, is it literally 1,000 years?
I reckon.
Damn.
I reckon Morgane's quite old. And so Lou realizes this because he's like, that means you're really old too, Claude. So what are you? Literally, what are you?
And he repeats it back. He's like, well, what are you, Lou? And she's like, I think I'm a snake. And she kind of gives a little bit of an explanation and stuff. Anyway, just really paints her in a bad light. And Claude goes, well, why don't you just shed your skin?
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, wise words of wisdom.
Yeah, well, he is wise. He's like 1,000 years old.
We think.
Yeah, we think. Anyways, and at this point, Reed finally rushes in. He's safe. He's alive.
He is. And he hugs Lou, and he's just sobbing, saying that they took his mother and she's not coming back. So and sad. That made me sad.
Because they kind of only just gotten started with the bonding.
Exactly. They've just kind of accepted that they want to, I guess, pursue a family aspect between them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel bad for him. Like, he's gone his whole life not knowing his family. He's finally found his mother, finally accepted that she's his mother, and now she's gone.
So now we're back in Reed's perspective, and he's watching the Archbishop's funeral from a window.
And Lou kind of says to him, you need to feel guilt and, you know, feel this anguish and sadness and everything in order to let the Archbishop go.
Yes.
And Reed starts having all these flashbacks about his childhood with the Archbishop and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And out the window, he can see Jean-Luc down there crying in what would have been Reed's place if he had have continued to be with the Chasseurs.
Yes.
And yeah, he's just getting all these flashbacks about, I think there was one about how the Archbishop saw him and Celine in a compromising position. There was one about the Archbishop teaching him how to fight or something like that.
Just like good times.
And he turns to Lou and says, I killed my father. And she says, I know. And they're just hugging and sobbing, and Reed finally lets go of the Archbishop.
Yeah, so obviously this was a really big lead up. Like, this whole funeral thing, it's really just tormented his mind from the start of everything.
It's definitely a big character development, I feel like, for Reed. Like, he's finally moved on because he was so tortured by it in, like, a lot of the book so far. And yeah, I feel like it's a big moment for Reed, specifically in terms of character development.
Yes, and I think also a lot of tension has been let go after this scene because I think that was most of his stress, and so I think him and Lou will be at a better place now that he's gotten that kind of off of his mind.
Yes.
And so now we're back in Lou's perspective, and they're just cuddling in bed and hugging and holding each other, and Lou's like apologizing for using magic, and she knows how uncomfortable it makes him, and Reed's basically just saying, like, I'll have to learn to accept it, like, I'm not going to judge you, I'm going to try not to, we're gonna be stronger from this.
And we have a really cute moment where Lou's like, what am I? And he's like, a witch. And she's like, and what are you? He's like, I'm one too.
Aww.
And she ends up just kissing him everywhere and being like, you're a husband, you're a huntsman, like, you're a brother, all that kind of stuff. But most of all, you're a good man and you are loved.
Yeah.
And he cries and he ends up lowering her onto the bed and begins to take off her shirt, but somehow blindfolds her with the hem of her shirt.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, kissing her stomach and like kissing everywhere. And he's like, I'm not really good with words, but let me show you.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up whipping off her shirt and Lou ends up giving him a blowjob.
Classy.
Terrific. Love it. I think it's his first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What a great experience for
him. He would have been, like, beside himself.
Like, yes, just after my father's funeral, this is exactly what I needed.
Oh, I think it was.
Great form from Lou.
Yes.
And then they have sex.
They do. So, spice rating.
I'm going to give it maybe, like, a 3.
Interesting.
It wasn't... I really give spice ratings, like, really willy-nilly. I'm like, spice for you, spice for you. Just because...
You're the Oprah of spice ratings.
I am. But yeah, I feel like it was a really nice moment. Actually, maybe I'll make it a 2 just because I feel like the funeral preceding it maybe is not such a vibe.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 3 3/4.
That's a shock because I always rate higher than you do.
Yeah, I really liked this. I like a little bit of foreplay. I just like the way that it's led up, and I like how it's also solved a lot of problems. Like, they've talked it through. Mm. It was just a really well-rounded scene in general. So that's nice. Why I gave that such high of a rating.
Yeah, okay, I see it.
Yes. And so after this, they're obviously feeling better emotionally and physically, relieved a bit of tension.
Yes, I think Lou says she feels better than she has in a long time.
Yes.
Which is good. That's really nice because I feel like she deserves to be happier than she has been in this book.
Yeah, their matter girl is just not following her anymore. Anyways, and so they head downstairs and they run into Lavoisin, and she's mad because she thinks that Lou has lied about Morgan's attack.
Yeah, she's basically accusing her, and Lou's like, I literally cannot tell you when exactly Morgan is attacking. It's up to her. I just said when I thought she would be.
Yes, and so Claude suggests that they should, you know, take a break and take a breath and watch the performance that's happening tonight.
Yes, I think it's some kind of masked performance.
Yes.
And Lou's like, huh, funny you should say that. And she brings out all these creepy notes that she's been receiving from Morgan, and she makes a connection that it's kind of going to go down at this masked event.
Yeah.
And all these notes don't refer to Lou, they refer to Celie.
Yes.
And Morgan has captured Celie.
Yes. And Reed is horrified. And so is Jean-Luc.
To be honest, I'm so confused.
Yeah,
same. I can't even remember when Jean-Luc came in.
Maybe after the funeral.
I guess he must have.
Yeah.
Either way, I was like, oh, I guess you're here too now.
Yeah, and obviously Jean-Luc is beside himself too, because Celie is his lover.
Mm-hmm. And they work out that Celie is in the catacombs, and Reed's like, great deductive skills, Sherlock, but Lou, I don't think you should go because it could be a trap.
Yeah, it seems like an obvious trap.
And Lou's like, well, obviously it's a trap, but I'm not letting you go alone.
No.
Lavoisin offers to drink Lou's blood for divination to see what kind of awaits ahead of them, and Coco's like, no, if anyone's going to be drinking Lou's blood, it's going to be me.
Yes.
Anyway, so Coco does, and she sees the death of a man that Lou loves. And Reed's like...
It's Jean-Luc.
Reed's like, are you okay, Lou? And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. Things can change, you know, yeah. Like, it's not like it's set in stone.
Yeah.
But Lou, yeah, she's obviously pretending that everything's going to be fine. And I'm concerned about how cool Reed is being.
Mm.
Like,
Reed's like, she doesn't love me. It's not me.
I'm her husband, but does she love me? Of course not.
Yeah, exactly. And so obviously everyone needs to discuss their next moves and the plan. And
whilst they're doing so, Lou kind of sneaks out, ends up locking the storage room that they're in and leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I gotta do this on my own.
And everyone's like, no, we're mad about it.
Yeah, they're not impressed.
Yeah. And so now we're back in Reed's perspective, and he is furious that Lou has done this.
Yes. And Reed, like, turns to Toulouse because he knows he's a witch, obviously, and he's like, can you open the door? And Toulouse says, no, only Lou can do that. So I think everyone ends up going out the back door or something weird like that.
Yeah.
And Ansel goes to leave, and Reed's like, you can stay here with the others, protect the region. And Ansel, I feel really bad for him. I think he knows that Reed thinks he'll get in the way.
Yeah.
So he just looks really embarrassed and sad. Mm,
so sad. And so they reach the entrance of the catacombs, and they're just discussing which way to go. It's like a forked road.
I think Bo and Coco are, like, arguing, and Coco's like, I want to go east. And Bo's like, I want to go west. Like, they're just...
And they're like, let's make out. And Coco's like, no, we're not doing that.
Bo definitely is interested in Coco.
Yeah.
I kind of ship them.
Same.
I feel bad for Ansel, but I have to stay true. I think it's Coco and Bo all the way.
Yeah, same. And all of a sudden, darkness just, like, envelops everything that they're surrounding.
And they hear Nicolina scream, and this light comes back on and there's blood everywhere, and they notice that Nicolina and Terry are both gone, and then all of a sudden Lavoisin and Claude disappear as well.
Yes.
That's some creepy stuff.
That is. We don't exactly know what's happened, but guess we'll find out soon.
Guess we'll find out.
Yes. And so we're back in Lou's perspective, and she's just walking. She's on a journey. She's left everyone. Rude. But she finally gets into a room that's lined with coffins.
Yes. And she's like, oh, look, there's the Archbishop's tomb. Oh, lol, wouldn't it be a joke if Celie was in there? And then she's like, oh my god, I actually know where Celie is. And she heads off.
Yes. And now we're back in Reed's perspective again. And Jean-Luc and Reed have a bit of a bro chat.
They do. Reed's like apologizing. He's like, I'm really sorry if I had have known that you were in love with Celie. But then he's also like, I actually don't think I would have.
You rude bitch. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, he like apologizes and stuff. And Jean-Luc kind of is just like, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
And they continue walking for about 30 minutes. And then Blaze finally picks up Lou's scent. And he's like, hang on a second. There are like a gazillion chasseurs around the corner. We got to run.
Yeah.
And they end up bumping into them. Not so convenient. And Jean-Luc basically tells the chasseurs, we have new orders. Morgane is here.
Gotta kill her.
Yeah, we gotta find her and then we gotta kill her.
Yeah, good boy.
Yes. So we switch back to Lou's perspective and she's found the Tomblay family vault. And she finds Philippa. I don't know if you guys remember Philippa. Right at the beginning of Serpent and Dove, we were talking about all the people who were harmed by witches. And Philippa was...
one of them.
Yes. She hears the sound of rocks behind her and Ansel appears. And Lou's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I want to help. And Lou basically says no. And Ansel gets mad. He's like, I always get left behind, like, yada, yada, yada. And Lou goes on this rant and honestly, it made me cry.
Same.
She's like, you know what? Because she's just trying to get rid of Ansel at this point.
Yeah, and trying to protect him.
Exactly. And she's basically just like, you're useless. You're a child. You think you know what's best, but you don't. All you do is get in the way, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And she's like, leave. And I think he's sad, embarrassed, mad, all of it comboed into one.
Yeah.
But he still says no.
Yeah. And Lou's kind of like, all right, well, if you're staying, might as well be as helpful as you can.
Yeah.
And so Ansel helps Lou lift off the top of the coffin.
And in there next to Philippa's decaying body is Celie.
Yes, but at least she's not dead.
True.
She's just a bit dazed.
She is. And apparently she's been down there for literal weeks.
Yes.
How did Jean-Luc not realize notice that his
girlfriend? True.
Wouldn't he have been like, I gotta check in. Is she okay?
Jean-Luc's a busy man.
I guess so.
Too busy being jealous of Reed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that Grinch thing. 4 o'clock?
Yeah.
Being jealous of Reed.
Yeah.
5 o'clock? Oh, being jealous of Reed. Yeah. I cannot miss that again.
That's right. Oh, I missed it last time. It wasn't good enough.
Anyway. Lou tries to help Celie, and Celie's like, no, I don't want your help. You stole Reed from me. And Lou's Petty. Like, get up, you little bitch. Yeah, we're going.
Literally.
And in the end, she does end up getting up, and they're walking down the tunnels, and Celie's actually enchanted so that if she does get up, she has to lead Lou straight to Morgane.
Yes.
So that's what happens. And they arrive at Morgane, and there's hundreds of people there. And in front of Morgane, Gabrielle lies there unconscious.
Yay! It's not that good, but I'm just glad she's not dead.
I mean, give it 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know. But still, I wanted to, like, you know, let him, like...
Yeah, you tried to raise everyone to a high. You were like, yeah, let's hype everyone up. Yeah,
I was like, she's not dead.
Woo! Anyway, Morgane's, like, taunting Lou in front of everyone, and Gabrielle actually wakes up.
Yeah.
And she's like, Morgane is literally a maniac. And Morgane burns her alive. So,
that's sad.
It is. I said that very lightheartedly. I didn't mean to.
No, but I was so excited when I realized that Gab was still alive.
Cal Gab.
Yeah, I love it. That she was still alive. And then 2 minutes later, like, I think, like, on the same page, she was dead.
Yeah, look, disappointing.
Yes.
However, I would have kind of preferred her to be dead the first time.
Me too.
Because I really... Obviously, that sounds cruel, but in terms of plot development and stuff...
And justice.
I really like to think of her as, like, the... like her death is symbolic of naivety or whatever.
Like, what was the point? There was no point to keep her alive. They could have had anyone else.
Either way, I don't know. That's my personal opinion.
No, I agree with you.
I do really love her though. I would have preferred if she'd just be alive, to be honest.
Same.
But yeah, I didn't really like the kind of almost fake death as a plot point.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, at this point, I think Ansel actually stabs Morgane, and Morgane finally sees Ansel, and she
kind of conjures this ball of fire that turns into a sword, and she knocks Lou and Ansel over, and Lou goes to grab Ansel's knife and slashes at Morgan and ends up stabbing it into her stomach.
Good girl.
And Morgan's like, oh my god, my daughter literally just stabbed me.
Yeah. Rude.
Rude. I don't know how she wasn't expecting this. Like, she's literally been trying to slash open Lou's throat for the longest time.
Yeah, and Lou just did a little bit back. She's like, how rude. How
as if someone would, as if you could do that to your own mother.
Literally. What have I raised you as?
Exactly. I'm just so confused. Like, what?
I know.
How is she not expecting that?
I know. And so at this point, there's all this chaos, and Reed finally appears, and he's like sprinting towards them.
And Morgan sees him and conjures up another big old ball of fire and holds it into his chest.
Yes.
And Lou's like, no!
And so now we're back in Reed's perspective, and he hears Ansel calling him. Just like calling out to him.
Being like, Reed, baby! Yeah. Are you okay, boo?
Yeah. And Claude is also there, like holding these flames in his hands, and he has like really bright green eyes.
It's the weirdest thing, yeah. I'm telling you. Because like he disappeared just before, but guess what? Apparently he's back.
He's back with some nice green eyes. And so during this chaotic scene, Lou is screaming, and her and Morgan are like in battle.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're like in intense battle.
And they end up materializing somewhere else, I think, all whilst Lou is trying to shield Celie. And then kind of over in another section, Jean-Luc and Coco are fighting back-to-back, which I kind of like because I feel like it's kind of the two sides uniting.
Yeah, I like this imagery.
Mm, so do I.
Mm-hmm. And Morgan finally sees Claude and...
she's shook.
She is shook.
She stumbles.
Yeah.
We've never seen her be so surprised.
No, she's like, my ex-boyfriend is here.
He's here. And we switch back to Lou's perspective and we find out that Claude is something called the Woodwoes.
Yes.
Which is essentially a god. And Claude basically tells Morgan that his sister is very displeased with her. I get the impression his sister is the OG witch.
Yeah.
Like, the literal maiden mother and crone.
Mm.
Like, the witchy goddess, whatever we want to call it. And Claude asks Morgan, he's like, what happened to you, my love? And Morgan's like, you left me. And I'm like, damn.
Damn, she has insecurities.
That was a bad breakup.
That was a terrible breakup.
Yikes. I would love to learn more.
Me too. I want a backstory.
I want a prequel.
Same. I want a prequel too.
I want a prequel. I do know there's a third book coming out.
Yes, in August.
Yes. So excited. So I'm hoping maybe we get a bit more intel about this.
I hope so.
I'd love to see the dynamic.
Me too.
Anyway, Claude gives Morgan a final warning, being like, this is your last warning.
You're gonna die.
Exactly. And Lou basically tells her mom that she did love her, and Morgan says, love makes you weak. And then she grabs Lou's knife and drives it into the base of Ansel's skull.
Oh my gosh, I was devastated.
When I tell you this is one of the saddest deaths ever,
mm-hmm.
Oh my god, I can't.
It was so sad.
It's literally, I just sobbed so hard. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to read out the line. It says, I could do nothing but watch him fall. He dropped to his knees first, eyes wide, unseeing, before falling forward. There was no one to catch him. No one to stop his face from hitting the ground with a sickening, definitive thud. He did not move again. And I just...
that was so intense because I forgot about, like, the prophecy.
Mm.
I kind of forgot about it for a second. And then at this point, I was like, oh my gosh, why did they do that? And then I was like, oh, because it's the future.
Oh, it just... my heart broke, honestly. It was so sad. And it just... like, I was worried for Reed, I really was, that I didn't even have enough time to think about Ansel.
Yeah.
Because Lou does love him very much.
Oh, she does.
I just...
I don't know who I thought it was going to be. I think I knew that it was going to be Ansel, but I was still like, maybe it could be Reed.
Would you rather it have been Reed?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm still thinking about it, but I think so. And then he could come back because he's got, like, witchy stuff. I don't know. I was thinking about that, yeah. What about you?
I don't know. Ansel was just such... I honestly love him with my whole heart.
Yeah, same.
And I think he deserves the world.
Me too.
So I was devastated. I had a bit of a cry.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would sacrifice Reed. To be honest, this is going to sound so mean, but I'd prefer it to be Beau.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Obviously. I'd prefer it to be friggin' Jean-Luc.
Yeah, if Jean-Luc could have been the one to go, I would have sacrificed
Literally.
Him first.
Literally.
But, like... I don't know. I just... oh, I can't choose.
I get you.
To be honest, I would rather Lou die than either of those two.
Yeah, same.
Maybe Toulouse.
Toulouse.
You choose.
Terry.
Yes. Anyways, and so obviously everyone is shocked and Coco tries to heal Ansel, but obviously it's too late.
She's hysterical.
Oh, yeah. And Lou is furious at Morgan, but also feels really guilty because, you know, as we mentioned before, her last words to him were not the kindest.
No, she essentially just told him he was worthless and nothing.
Yes.
And she's, like, sobbing and stuff, and Reed's trying to stop her from, like, running to him or whatever, and he just kisses her hard. To be honest, I don't really understand the point of that.
Me neither. I think he was just trying to do anything he could to distract her. Yeah, that's right.
But there is a line, and it basically says, no matter what Reed claimed this time, he wouldn't be able to bring me back. Something dark and ancient slithered out of that pit.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Mm. This is definitely a bit of, like, a something bad's gonna come.
Mm.
Something bad's gonna come in the third book.
Yes. She's gonna get all dark.
That's my prediction.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of united now. And Lavoisin basically says the tunnel separated them or something like that. Seems a little sus to me.
Yeah.
Nicolina's back. She's still being creepy.
She is.
Lou basically tells the whole crew that she wants to march Chateau LeBlanc and burn it to the ground and build a new home for them upon the ashes of her sisters.
Yes, she's furious.
That's very dramatic.
It is.
But I'm here for it. Same. I love some good drama.
I love that she has a plan now.
A vision.
Yeah, she has a vision.
Chef's kiss. Good job, Lou.
So now Lavoisin, Nicolina, and Lou are in a different room. Things are quieting down a little bit now.
I guess they're just discussing future plans.
Yes, because Morgan got away.
Mm-hmm. And Lavoisin basically says, ever wonder how Morgan found you? And Lou's like, she has spies everywhere. And Lavoisin's like, yes, after 2 years of searching, we found you. And I was like,
no.
No. This is not
the plot twist I wanted.
I was not expecting this shit.
Me
honestly,
neither.
The last thing that I was expecting was this.
Lavoisin betraying. Nicolina was...
She was also...
Scared.
She was always sus.
Yeah.
But, like...
Lavoisin, really?
I was not expecting it.
Me neither.
And Lou goes to run to the door, and she's, like, screaming for Reed and Coco. But obviously they can't hear it, because Lavoisin has enchanted the door.
Yes.
And Lou's like, why have you done this? And Lavoisin basically says something along the lines of Lou being easier to kill than Morgan. And then something really weird happens, where Lavoisin drinks from this goblet, and then pours the rest in Lou's mouth. I assume there's some kind of blood concoction.
Yeah,
I can't
like
really remember.
Or something, yeah.
Yeah, and Lou collapses.
Yes. And now we're at the final chapter, and it's Reed's perspective. And so Jean-Luc and Reed are just, like, celebrating. They're like, oh, we could have gotten away. We did. Yeah, bro. Like, they're just having a bro
chat. I mean, I'm not sure that's exactly how it went down.
They are drinking and talking, though. And Claude's basically like, what are we going to tell the king?
And Reed basically just says, we're going to tell them the truth. Might as well see what happens.
Yeah. And so while Jean-Luc is drinking his life away, Celie is not coping well at all.
She's full on traumatized. I think she has PTSD. She's not recovering
from
this one.
With a decaying body.
Of your sister.
Yeah. I would be traumatized.
For like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Honestly, the thought makes me feel sick.
I know, me too. And Jean-Luc is basically just telling Reed that they need to leave the kingdom. So take care.
Yeah, but in a kind of like a nice, not like a take care,
see
bro,
you
catch
later.
It's like a you should leave, go as far as you can.
Yeah.
But please take care. Like,
yes.
We were once friends.
Yeah.
At least he still kind of cares about him in that manner.
Exactly. And so they kind of say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of nice. It's not tense or anything like that.
Yes. And I think the crew kind of discuss a bit about Lou, and they're like, oh yeah, Lou's just in the dining room discussing with Lavoisin and Nicolina. They're planning to march on the chateau, that kind of thing. And then the dining room door opens and Lou steps out, and I think it says, her eyes met mine, she grinned and started towards me. I frowned. I hadn't seen her grin since. And then she just grabs him and sweeps him into a passionate kiss. And I'm like...
She's possessed.
Yeah. Possessed.
Possessed.
I don't feel good about it at all.
Me neither. But it's just such a good cliffhanger.
Honestly, the way she ends her books, like the last one was, I think Coco being like, we need to go to Lavoisin's camp.
Yeah,
and Reed was like, shit.
Yeah.
And then this one's like she 100% has to be possessed.
She really knows how to end these
books.
I
need to know what happens in the third one so badly. So badly.
Me too. But anyways, that's the end of the second book.
And the last book that's currently out.
Yes, we're going to have to wait like 6 months for it.
Oh my God. I don't know if I can do it.
Me neither.
I need to know desperately.
I mean, we have no choice.
True.
Yeah. Anyways.
I'll go and force Shelby Moore and I'll be like, let me be an ARC reader.
Yeah. So what were your overall thoughts about this one?
Blood and Honey, again, I've mentioned it before. I didn't really like it as much as I was expecting to. I had heard previously that it was a bit of a letdown compared to the first one.
Yes.
But as a whole, I did enjoy the book. It just didn't quite reach my expectations.
Yeah, fair enough.
What about you? What are your thoughts?
I enjoyed it, I think, the second time when I was looking at exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Because I think as you're doing it, you're like, oh God, this is going on forever. Like, come on, have a plan. Like, I really struggle when they don't have a succinct plan. And even with the werewolves plan and the allies thing, it wasn't as, like, Twilight as I kind of wanted it to be.
To be honest, I'm still a little confused with the dynamic
Me
between
too.
Everyone.
And also, like, where did Morgan go? Like, I'm confused. It kind of just pitted out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess things weren't as clean as I would prefer them to be.
There was definitely loose ends.
Yeah.
But to be fair, this is a second book.
Yeah,
like, I suspect
right.
it'll probably... I think she'll probably finish after the next book.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping at the end of the next book, things will have a nice little bow and
Me
be tied
too.
Up nicely.
It's the Siege and Storm of trilogy.
It is.
It's fine, though. No, I did enjoy it overall, and I still like the characters, and I do like how Jean-Luc got a bit of a redemption. I really, really wanted that from the start.
I didn't.
Really?
I don't like Jean-Luc. I'm not a fan.
I don't know why. Maybe it's his name. It just sounds cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm really excited to see what happens in the third book.
Me too. I can't wait to review it once it's out and we get to, like, relish in it.
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
So I guess that concludes our review of Blood and Honey.
Yes, we really hope you guys have enjoyed these last two episodes of our review for Blood and Honey. And
on more exciting news, next week we plan to review The Cruel Prince by Holly Black.
Yes, I'm very excited. I've only just started it, but it's been going okay for now. I do like the Fae realm.
A lot of you guys have requested it.
Yes.
So we're super excited to be reviewing it for you.
We are, and we can't wait to have you guys join us.
If you have any tea recommendations for us, send them on through so we have time to get what we need before our episode.
Yes, exactly. And if you have any controversial opinions or comments, or if you guys just want to contact us, feel free to chuck over a message on any of our following platforms. That'll be linked below.
Yes. They're all under our link tree in the description box.
Yes. So with that said, thank you so much for listening to this episode of TBR.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.